From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. The focus of this message is Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Although Galatians contains only 6 chapters, it is one of the sharpest books that Paul ever wrote. In the course of this epistle, Paul emphasized that free grace is the vital principle of the only gospel of salvation God has ever revealed to us. This is the gospel he had received from God himself, and it had totally changed his life. It is a gospel that entirely repudiates human merit or works as having any part in salvation. And Paul pronounced God's curse upon any who tried to adulterate this message. There are fundamental principles that underlie the teachings of the gospel. First, the free will of God is the source of the gospel. The free obedience of Christ is the substance of the gospel. The free deliverance of sinners shows the strength of the gospel. And finally, the free worship of those delivered is the song of the gospel. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled, Standing Fast in Gospel Liberty. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God Finishes His Work. The text is Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He who has begun will carry on the work which is being wrought within my soul. The Lord is concerned about everything that concerns me. All that is now good, but not perfect, the Lord will watch over and preserve and carry out to completion. This is a great comfort. I could not perfect the work of grace myself. Of that I am quite sure, for I fail every day and have only held on so long as I have because the Lord has helped me. If the Lord were to leave me, all my past experience would go for nothing and I should perish from the way. But the Lord will continue to bless me. He will perfect my faith, my love, my character, my life work. He will do this because he has begun a work in me. He gave me the concern I feel, and in a measure, he has fulfilled my gracious aspirations. He never leaves a work unfinished. This would not be for his glory, nor would it be like him. He knows how to accomplish his gracious design. And though my evil nature and the world and the devil all conspire to hinder him, I do not doubt his promise. He will perfect that which concerns me, and I will praise him forever. Lord, let thy gracious work make some advance this day.
Oh,
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
Joe Black. Lived in the Ravenhill Road in Belfast. An alcoholic. Drunk every night of the week. Couldn't pass a bar. One night as he sprawled up against the wall holding, just to get a grip to hold himself upright, Dr. Paisley's people were having an open-air meeting. And as they preached, Ian Paisley went over. He's just a young fella then. Not long off the farm and still had strength in those arms. So he went over and he lifted him bodily and he carried him, 200 yards down the Ravenhill Road. And he set him in the prayer room. And Joe, still stupid drunk, sat in that seat, and that young fella, 20, 21, 22 years old, went out and he prayed and he laid hold of God, and Joe Black's testimony was, that man prayed me sober. That man prayed the fear of God into me that night. And he prayed and God gave Joe Black the faith of the gospel. And that night a man who went in drunk came out sober. That man went in a sinner, came out a saint. But you didn't tell Joe Black, Joe, you've got to do your best to struggle past the pub. You've got to do your best to put your life back together. No, you've got to bring to a man like that an almighty Savior. And God did the work. That's the gospel. My, that's what we have got to recapture in our day, in preaching to sinners in America. The gospel's not a band-aid in a great program of self-help. The gospel is radical surgery. God says, a new heart will I give you. I'll come and I'll take away the old heart. And I'll put a new heart within you. I'll put a new controlling principle within your breast. I'll give you a new mind. I'll give you a new life. I'll save you by free grace. Because Christ died for the ungodly and rose again in virtue of their justification. Free deliverance is the strength of the gospel. And the free worship of those delivered is its song. To whom be glory forever and ever. The people who have a right to shout and sing are the people who have God's free grace. Now that is Paul's gospel, and it utterly excludes every hint of law works, doing the best you can, or impressing God, gaining his favor by anything that you can do. That's why Paul says in chapter 3, verse 1, that he constantly placarded Christ before them. Notice that verse, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you, hath been evidently set forth. The simple English word for that would be, who has been placarded before you. It's like Paul brought a great placard before them, and everywhere he went, he was preaching Christ crucified. In chapter 3, he says, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. Then again in chapter 4, he says, verse 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In chapter 6, 14, he says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the message then. Free grace through Christ, his merit, his blood. This is the starting point of the gospel. This is the finishing point of the gospel. This is the substance and the sum of the gospel. And without this, you have no gospel. Don't trim it. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Don't touch it as to changing it in any way. It is the perfect creation of God. Free grace, then, is the vital principle of the gospel. Secondly, therefore, we can say that this gospel of free grace is the charter of the Christian's liberty. Liberty is one of the great themes of Galatians. 11 times in this epistle, Paul raises the theme of liberty. And to show you how important that is, that's more than all his other epistles combined. So in this epistle, 11 times, there is a reference to the thought of liberty. Equally, 11 times in this epistle, there is the idea of bondage. So very clearly then, these are meant, they're not accidents, they're meant to be important issues. And it's therefore vital for us to understand exactly what Paul means by them. What does liberty mean? Now I want to be absolutely frank and clear with you. And if I have time, I'll come to this in more detail in a minute or two. Or five or ten. Liberty nowadays, especially for Calvinists in the Reformed churches, and I speak as a Calvinist, but liberty means the liberty to run to Hollywood movies. It means the liberty to, as some people told me, to play cards. And I don't mean, I don't know what the cards you use here for Happy Family. Do they have Happy Family here? Snap. You people aren't educated at all. You need to go to a cultured place like Ballymoney in Northern Ireland. Uno. You ever play Uno? Now I get a few nods, eh? Well, I don't mean cards like that. I mean the gambler's cards. Christian liberty is the liberty for us to play those. I don't think a Christian should even put his hand in that stuff, even if you're not playing for money. It's the devil's pack. Don't soil the fingers that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by the devil's pack. It's the liberty to take booze. A little tot. Whiskey or rum or beer or wine. Of course, I don't mean to get drunk, but I mean of the right to take it. That's the extent of Christian liberty in people's mind nowadays. That is not what Paul means by Christian liberty. Gresham Machen, the great Presbyterian of the 1920s and 1930s, said that what Paul meant by liberty was a liberty from having to establish your own righteousness before God by your own works. It was a liberty of having to establish acceptance with God by means of work. Paul meant by liberty a standing of perfect acceptance with God. I want to tell you, my friend, that's real liberty. When you know that I am accepted by God and I'm free from all condemnation, that's liberty. By liberty, Paul meant a perfect and a free righteousness. When God looks at me, he looks at me as being perfectly righteous. And that without any works of personal merit. What Paul meant by liberty was not only a free and perfect acceptance with a free and perfect righteousness, but such things then producing rest of conscience. You see, a man is not enjoying liberty if his conscience is in turmoil. If his conscience is constantly condemning him. If he's fighting a battle inside. If he's constantly torn apart. If his mind is on a battlefield with itself every day, that man is not in liberty. Whatever his doctrine, he is in bondage at that point. But Paul says this is the glory of the gospel. It gives you acceptance with God. It gives you righteousness in the sight of God. And when that gets through to your heart, that gives you rest of conscience and it silences the voice of blame and of accusation. That's what Paul means by liberty. By bondage, The apostle means a servile submission to the rites and the rituals of religious observance as a means of obtaining favor with God. In other words, where people think they're going to impress God and they're going to get to heaven by virtue of what they do, surely God will be pleased. He'll give me favor because of what I do. Paul says that is bondage. It's destructive of all Christian assurance and peace. For instance, if you think that God is going to accept you on the basis of what you do, you'll never know you're accepted. Because when have you done enough? If it's on your obedience, when is your obedience good enough? If God is going to accept you because of how much you love him, when have you loved him enough? How much you pray, when have you prayed enough? How much you give, when have you given enough? Never. That's why Paul calls this in chapter 5, verse 1, a yoke of bondage. And that's why in chapter 4, verse 24, he says, and if I could give it its literal force, it bears children unto slavery. It gendereth to bondage. It bears children unto slavery. Those who are trusting in the works of the flesh, law works. Paul says they're slaves. They're slaves to guilt. Maybe I'm talking to somebody here this morning, and that's what you're saying. I've been doing the best I can, but I'm still haunted by guilt. It's still eating away at my very soul. I have this awful guilt feeling. I can't deal with it. I can't get rid of it. My friend, I want to tell you, as long as you try to overcome your guilt by what you do, you'll never overcome it. There's only one power can wipe out the guilt of sin, and that's the power of grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Then again, here's the amazing thing. Well, it's not amazing when you really stop to think of it, but it appears amazing. These people were saying, you've got to do this, do this, do this, and do the other thing in order to be accepted by God. Paul says, these are the very people who are slaves to the flesh. You see, law righteousness never will make a man holy. You don't get victory over sin by willpower. You don't get victory over sin by how strongly you're trying. You get victory over sin by grace through faith as you live in fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's how you get victory over sin. Galatians chapter 5, we read verse 19. Gives you the works of the flesh. And these are the things that religious people were turning out. Paul was not talking about the heathens just. Oh, this would be true of heathens. But Paul's talking about these religious people. Listen, you would think this was ABC News talking about the latest scandal of preachers. He says, these are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All these are things. And he says, look, these are the religious people who think that they're going to satisfy God. And they're going to erase the guilt of their conscience. And they're going to get to heaven by how well they live. He says, not only do they fail to get to heaven, but they fail to live well. They're slaves to the flesh.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.